carrying on this morning our series on finance. And it's a series that Pastor Ed started last Sunday morning, and he spoke brilliantly about believing that making money is a good and moral thing. And then last Sunday night, if you were here, and if not, you should see if you can get a copy of it somewhere. We had Rick, who talked about knowing God longs for your heart before your wallet. And this morning, I'm going to talk about the fact that generosity unlocks blessing. And tonight, Pastor Ed is going to finish off the series talking about the fact that the wise plan to make money over the long term. And can I encourage you that if you've not made a plan to be here tonight, then try, if you can, make it work, make a plan to be here, because there's nothing better than sitting under the teaching of our senior pastor. And it is, I'm looking forward to tonight, because there's something always really special about sitting under the teaching of our leaders. And Pastor Ed and Pastor Michelle lead us so well, and it is an honor and privilege to serve you, Pastor Ed, even if you call me small. So I am 5 foot, just 5 foot. So like I say, today I'm going to, what was that, Dave? Oh man, I like you a lot as well, Dave, as well as Pastor Ed, but I thank you. Oh, so Pastor Dave said that 5 foot is big for a hobbit, because yeah Dave. So today we're going to talk about generosity and the fact that generosity unlocks blessing. So I'm going to pray and try and restore order, because Dave is laughing on the front row and he needs to be serious in the house of God, and he's apologizing. Okay, Jesus, I thank you so much that we have the honor and the privilege to be in your house this morning. Lord God, I just pray that you would ready our hearts to receive your word. Lord Jesus, that you would work in and through us this morning, Lord Jesus, and that, Lord God, that there wouldn't be one person in this room that would leave this place not changed by your presence and by your goodness, Lord Jesus. Lord God, I just pray that as we open your word, as we share what your heart is for your people, Lord God, Lord Jesus, that your name will be glorified and lifted high. Thank you, God. Amen. Amen. So, in 1991, I sat in a maths lesson with 30 other students, and I was about 4 rows back, and Mr. Jackson, who just so happened, did you go to Ford and Cadley? Do you remember Mr. Jackson? Do you remember Mr. Jackson? Mr. Jackson was possibly my favorite primary school teacher of them all. And I remember clearly sitting in that lesson, and he was drawing on the blackboard a picture of a pie. And he was using this picture of a pie to demonstrate the principle, the mathematical principle of division. He was explaining that when you have a pie and you have 4 people who want a piece of pie, you have to cut the pie up into 4 pieces and share them out until there's nothing left. And he was using this idea to explain division. And the idea is that actually you've got to spend everything equally until there is nothing left. And I think sometimes that when we think about generosity, we think of generosity like a pie that needs to be spent until there's nothing left. And I just wonder whether that is actually a biblical principle about generosity. Because the year before 1991, which was 1990, and I was 6, because I was listening in that maths lesson with Mr. Jackson, and so I can do that maths. I can't do long division, though, because I was having a violin lesson that time. And I missed that class. And I remember missing that class, and I still haven't learned how to do it. But in 1990, I was in a science lesson with Mrs. Watkin Rees, who was a lovely teacher. She was a little bit older. She wore those glasses that were kind of half glasses, and she had to peer over the top of them when she was talking to you. And she did the best classes, because I remember one time we made bird food and put it out in the garden so we could watch and see and learn about all the different types of birds. The Coke, big 2-liter Coke bottles, we cut off the top of them, emptied them out, put it in the garden to watch how much rain we could gather. I don't know how or why we were trying to gather rain, but we were, and it was exciting. And one time we planted sunflowers, and we were all given a little white plastic pot and given some soil and given some seeds. And she taught us how to sow a sunflower seed, how to plant it, how to water it, how to care for it. And then we put it, all of the little white cups, by the window. And over the following weeks and months, we watched as these sunflowers grew. And I just wonder whether something that we sow that grows into a plant or a tree or something that has fruit, that bears fruit, is a much better way of understanding and thinking about what generosity actually is. And if you want to turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, from verse 6, I want to read to you a little bit about the principle of sowing rather than the principle of spending. Generosity is not something to be spent. Generosity is something to be sown. From verse 6, it says, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, you have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, that their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every good way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving." And then if you can flip through your Bibles that quickly, have a look at John chapter 6, verses 1 to 15. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to start from verse 8. This is the story of the feeding of the 5,000. And we read here that another disciple, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to the disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with pieces of 5 of the 5 barley loaves left over from those who had eaten. You see, I believe that on that day, that little boy sowed a gift. He didn't spend a gift. And the fruit of it was abundantly above and beyond anything that they could ever have imagined or expected. And so if you want a message today, a title for the message today, I'm calling this message Seeds of Generosity. We're looking at the fact that generosity unlocks blessing, but I want us to stop thinking about generosity as something that we spend and start thinking about generosity as something that we sow. We have seeds of generosity within us, and so we're going to have a look today at why we sow and what happens when we sow. So the first thing I want to look at is the fact that we need to recognize that God is the most generous seed sower. This is where we need to start. We need to look at the best example, the best model that we can ever have for what it is to sow seeds of generosity. And our God is the best example. We can read in Psalm 19, verse 1. It's one of my favorite psalms. It starts off the whole of the psalm saying, "The heavens declare the glories of God." And our God demonstrates to us that he is a generous God in the way that he created the earth. The heavens declare his glory, and the heavens are there for us to enjoy. And we only need to get in the car and drive up the road to the Lake District to see the most beautiful countryside, because God created it generously for us to enjoy. We only need to have a look at a sunset or the sunrise or see autumn leaves to enjoy the beauty of what it is that God has created, because God sowed seeds generously so that we can enjoy what he's created. We just need to open our eyes and look around and see what happens. When we see a newborn baby that's so perfectly formed, so intricately formed in a God-planned design, that is the creativity of God. That is the generosity of God in the way that he has created. But do you know, God takes it even further in his generosity, because we just need to look at the salvation story. We need to look at the fact that God generously sowed seeds of generosity for us to experience freedom. He looked at the world and mankind had messed up. Mankind had damaged the relationship that we had with God. Mankind had sinned, had turned away from living life God's way. And God generously sowed seeds to enable us to get back into relationship with him. He gave his one and only son, Jesus, to die on the cross, to carry the weight of our sin and our shame so that we could accept the power of the resurrected Savior and live in relationship with him. Our God is a generous God. He is the most generous seed sower. And when we're talking about generosity and generosity being seeds that are sown, not a pie that is spent until it is gone, we need to look at the fact that our God is a God who has always been generous and has always given over and above and has always sowed seeds of generosity. I love the fact that Jesus didn't just die, he rose again, because God didn't send Jesus to spend what needed to be spent. He sent it to sow and bring life and fruit. We have got a God who is generous in everything that he does, and even to this day we see the generosity of God. And I was thinking about this. I was thinking about how God continues to daily demonstrate his generosity. And I was thinking about the phrase, we need to count our blessings. And I do wonder sometimes if actually we ever really take that seriously. Because if we really did stop and start to count our blessings, I think we would be really blown away. And I was thinking about a time when I was over in Australia and I'd had a really challenging few months. There had been a lot of upheaval in my life. I'd moved up to Brisbane and then back to Sydney, and I didn't really have anywhere to live. I was sleeping on the floor in a friend's living room, and they had four kids, and so I was actually just not sleeping. And I didn't have a job. I didn't know where I was going to do my third year of college. Everything was in upheaval. And then someone came to me with the idea of moving to City Campus, which we now know was the best decision I ever made. But at that point, I wasn't so convinced. And I, in a moment of toddler-like stroppiness, said to God, well, I'm not going to go there. And if you want me to go there, then you're going to have to provide me with a house that's by the beach. And you're going to have to provide me with a bedroom with white bedroom furniture. And then I left the conversation. Entirely unreasonable. But God demonstrated his generosity, because about a month later, I was counting my blessings. And I was sat in a bedroom filled with white bedroom furniture, two blocks away from the beach. Wow. Now, there was no need for that level of generosity because I was being a stroppy toddler. But God demonstrated his generosity. And he didn't spend that generosity on me. He sowed it into my life, because now I stand here today telling you that story, absolutely convinced that my Jesus will always provide everything that I need over and above, because he sowed that into my life. So God is the most generous seed sower, and I challenge you to look at your own life and see all of the ways in which God has generously sown into your life. But why does this matter? Well, it matters because Genesis 1:27 tells us that we are created in the image of God. And, you know, I was doing some research about this, and I was talking to Dave the other week about it. He probably won't even remember. I'm sorry, Dave. I talk to Dave about a lot, so he probably listens to about half of it, and I wouldn't blame him. But there is a psychologist called Paul J. Zak, and he's done some research into generosity, and he's discovered there is a hormone called oxytocin, which is linked to generosity. And when I started reading this, I thought, that's cool. There's a hormone that's released that makes us feel good after we've been generous. No, it's released and causes us to be generous. It's a hormone that is released. When it's released, it is the thing that instigates our generosity. And when I heard that, I thought, well, maybe then God designed us to be generous creatures. And God designed us for generosity. If we're made in the image of God, and in our very makeup we have something that causes generosity, then maybe there is something about living a generous life. So that brings me to my second point. And my second point is that seeds sown generously grow me. When we sow generously, we reap abundantly. John 10:10 says, I have come that you might have life and life in all its fullness. And 2 Corinthians 9, verse 11 says that as we sow generously, we will be enriched in every way. And if you're a Christian here today, you're called to be a disciple of Jesus. And that means you're called to become more Christ-like, to learn and to form your life just following after Jesus and following in his ways. And we already know that he is a generous God, so we're following in the ways of generosity, and we even have it in our makeup chemically to be generous, and I love that. But if you're a Christian here today, you're a disciple of Jesus, and Jesus always asks us to do things that are good for us. He asks us to pray because it's good for us. He asks us to honor our leaders because it's good for us. He asks us to spend time in the Word of God because it's good for us. He asks us to honor the Sabbath because rest is good for us. And I just suspect that maybe he asks us to be generous because it's good for us. Because what I think is that it's good for us, because as we're walking out our journey and becoming more Christ-like, we're becoming more like we were always intended to be. We're becoming more like ourselves. We're becoming more me. More me. And that in and of itself is a blessing. We're becoming more like the person that more walking more into the purpose that we were designed and created and created with that purpose in mind from God. We're becoming more of who it is that God has in his heart for us to be. And that in itself is a blessing. Proverbs 11:24 in the Message says, "The world of the generous grows larger and larger, and the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller." And I think that is just such a great way of summing up the fact that when we sow seeds of generosity, it grows us. It grows us. I think it grows us from the inside out. We become more comfortable with who we are. We are demonstrating who it is we were created to be. That in and of itself is a blessing. But I also know that God blesses us beyond that as well. There was a generosity experiment that was carried out at a university campus in America. It's always going to be in America. And they, at random, selected a whole bunch of people to participate in this experiment. And at the start of the experiment, they said, "Can you just rate on this scale how happy you are right now?" And everyone rated on the scale how happy they were. And then they gave them a sum of money. It was a different sum for each person. Some people might have got $5, some might have got $50, some might have got $100. And half of the participants were asked to spend that money on themselves throughout the day. And the other half were asked to spend that money on someone else throughout the day. As it were, to sow that money into someone else throughout the day. At the end of the day, they contacted the participants and asked them the same question. "Can you rate for me right now how happy you are on this scale?" And everyone who spent the money on themselves, their happiness levels stayed pretty much the same. But almost without fail, everyone who had sown that money into someone else had increased in their happiness levels. You see, it's not just about I'm becoming more like me, but actually, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Actually has emotional impact on the way that we feel. And again, I just wonder, is that maybe because we're created in the image of God and we're created to be a generous people? And then I look at John 6, 1 to 15 again, and I look at this story about the feeding of the 5,000. And I'm really caught up on this little boy. I can't get past verse 8. We don't know his name. We don't know anything about him. But I sometimes wonder, did that day change his life? Was that day a catalyst for growth in his life? What was the story that he told his parents when he got home that day? What was the story he told his friends? I can imagine that he would be the boy that would be going, "Well, it was my lunch that Jesus used to feed the 5,000. And do you know what? I would have loved to be one of his grandkids and sat around the table with him, maybe at Passover or something like that, whilst he was telling stories about Jesus. And I would have loved to have been one of his grandkids to hear him say, "Well, do you know what? There was this time once when Jesus did, and I gave him the lunch, and it was the most amazing day of my life." I wonder sometimes, maybe that boy became part of the early church. It became part of the plan of actually spreading the message and the goodness and the grace of God across the region. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But I can't believe that that act of generosity sown into the hands of Jesus, that had such incredible fruit, such incredible results, didn't change his life forever. You see, it says we're more blessed to give. We say it's more blessed to give than to receive. The word blessed means caused to prosper, to make happy, and to be favored of God. And as we sow generously with our lives, we'll find that it's part of our own growth, our own journey of becoming more like Jesus, more like the me we were created to be. And we'll see that God faithfully provides over and above what we need. That is God prospering us. But far more than that, we'll understand that our greatest blessings are found in becoming the person we were designed to be and living in the great freedom found in the salvation of God. That is God favoring us. So, first of all, we need to recognize that God is the most generous seed sower. Then we need to recognize that seed sown generously will grow me. And lastly, we need to recognize that seed sown generously show love. I'm going to keep talking about this boy because I'm fascinated. Like, that it's just one line in scripture, but I can't believe it didn't change his life. And I love that he gave his lunch to Jesus. And it isn't actually recorded in history as the story of the boy who was organized and planned ahead and bought his lunch. Which would never have been the story for me, because I'm never that organized in the morning. But it's recorded as a great miracle of Jesus. And people talked about who Jesus was. And his generosity was a demonstration of love. It allowed people to fix their eyes on Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 9:11, Paul writes that the generosity of the Corinthian people will result in thanksgiving to God. So when I say that seeds sown generously show love, it firstly shows love towards God. We have an opportunity to use the generosity that is built within us to show and demonstrate our love for Jesus. We know that God is the most generous sower. And we know that as we sow generously, he will bless us. We know that as we sow generously, he will grow us. And to be really honest, we even know that all of the seeds of generosity that we even have to sow are from God anyway, that he so generously sowed into our lives. And we know that as we bring our seeds of generosity to God in worship, to show our love for God, we know that God's going to use that to turn that around, to actually say, do you know, I want to bless you, I want you to be provided for, I want you to know that I love you, that I know you, that I care for you. But even with that, there should be something in the heart of a believer that wants to still come and bring those seeds of generosity in worship to Jesus. You see, the truth is, I can stand here today and declare the goodness of God, because God has sowed seeds of generosity into my life, meaning that I'm righteous. And tomorrow, when I start my first day at work, maybe I can buy a new colleague a coffee, because God has generously sowed seeds of generosity into my life, enabling me to get a job that gives me the finances I need to do that. It all starts with God. But that does not stop me from wanting to come back and say, God, I want to honor you. I want to love you. I want to worship you by bringing my finance. And there's a biblical principle of the tithe and the offering, of bringing 10% of what we have, and over and above is the offering, as worship before God. And it's not because we're spending our seeds of generosity on God. It's because we're sowing them. We're sowing them into our relationship with God to say, God, we love you. We want to demonstrate that. And I love that the more generous we are, the more we experience and understand the generosity of God. And that's why we make time in every service to worship, to come around our tithes and our offerings. So seed sown generously show love. Firstly, we can demonstrate that love towards God. Secondly, we can demonstrate that love towards each other. And the team can come and join me now if you like. See, I reckon that boy looked around the crowds in John chapter 6 and he thought, do you know what, I'm hungry. So I reckon my family might be hungry. And I reckon the other family, the other followers of Jesus might be hungry. And so he went, you know what? I'm going to share my lunch. It might not be able to do much, but I want to demonstrate a level of love. And I'm going to sow my lunch into the hands of Jesus and see what we can do. And I believe that those of us who are followers of Jesus are actually called to show generosity towards each other out of an understanding of the fact that our God is a generous God. In John 13, 34 to 35, Jesus tells us that people will know we love him by the way that we love one another. And practically, we can sow generously with our time. Do you know what? We've got people like Paul Mather, who is one of the most generous people I know when it comes to his time. The things that he does for the house of God that no one ever sees, he's sowing generously with his time. We can sow generously with our words. Andy Carter is the best example of someone who sows generously with their words. Like even this morning, I've had 3 conversations with him, and in every conversation, he's encouraged me. He's someone who is encouraging. He sows encouragement into people's lives. We can be a people that are generous in that way. We can sow generously with our actions. Amanda Wingfield is brilliant at that. The number of times she's been up to me and said, Katie, do you want a brew? I'm like, yeah, more than anything else in the world right now. And it's actually acts of kindness that she's sowing into my life. And we can sow generously with our finance. I remember the pastors I work with in Sydney, Joe and Leanne. You probably all feel like you know them yourself, the amount I talk about them. But do you know what? You had to race them to the front of the queue in the cafe if you wanted to buy them a coffee, because they were always the first people to shout someone a coffee or buy someone lunch, because they were sowing generously with their finance. And the beauty of generosity in the kingdom of God is that as I'm generous towards you, and you're generous towards someone else might be generous towards me. And it truly is more blessed to be generous to give than it is to receive. Because all we're doing is walking in the ways of how we were created to live, giving generously to one another. So, seeds sown generously show love. There are opportunity to demonstrate our love to God. There are opportunity to demonstrate love to each other. But there are also our opportunity to demonstrate love to our world. Luke 10, 27 says that we should love our neighbor as ourselves. People should be able to see something of the love and the generosity of God by our actions towards them. And we can be generous in all of the ways that I've just talked about. But I love that at Valley Church on Resurrection Sunday, we sowed hundreds of chocolate Easter eggs into the grounds of Valley Church. And we opened up the doors, extended an open invite, and allowed our community to come and join in the fun. It was a demonstration of love, and I believe that it was not an act where we spent generously for our community, but we sowed generously into our community. I believe that in the weeks and months and years to come, we will see lives transformed by sowing generously like that into our community. We will see people encounter the generosity of Jesus, the love of God. We'll see people in awe at the way that we love generously one another. That we will see people who come in and hear the word of God proclaimed and discover that they've got a God who is a generous God, who loves them and knows them and wants to make a way for them to come back into a relationship with him. That in the months, the weeks, the years to come, not what we spent but what we sowed that day will bear fruit for all of eternity.